John chapter 6, starting at verse 60. John chapter 6, verse 60. And then I'll read through 68. Therefore, when many of his disciples, when they heard, they said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus was conscious that his disciples grumbled at this and said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives the life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, "For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him from the Father." As a result, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away also? Do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life." You know, a lot of people are sadly mistaken about ministers. Our lives aren't perfect. We have problems and difficulties. In the past few days, I've been at that point going, "God, this isn't supposed to be the way things work out." According to what I understand in the New Testament, we're taught what you say, and yet here is something and it doesn't seem to be going your way. And a lot of times it's intentional. Folks, a lot of times we are put in a hard position and it's intentional. And God, especially here, Jesus, not only permits us to get into that harder situation when we're trying to walk by faith and trust Him, He makes it harder, and then He makes it personal. He makes it very personal to us on that level, and He will confront us and ask us questions, and it's like, okay, now let me, you know, it's like, okay, are you going to do what I say? Mark chapter 5, verse 16 through 20. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and to all about the swine. Now what happened, and I'm not going to spend all this time reading it, what happened is the demoniac of Gadara, Jesus came to the shore, everything was going along, I shouldn't use that word, it's not politically correct, the demon-possessed person comes out and starts talking to Jesus. And if your King James says they worshiped him, what it means is they fell down before him. And that's what the word implies there, is they fell down before him. And this is the one that says his name's Legion. And Jesus tells the demons to come out and go into the hogs. And the hogs all run down the hill and they jump in the water and they drown. Now, at the end of this, the man is delivered from the demons. And verse 17, they find out what happened, and they had this guy who was scary because they had tried to chain him up on different occasions, and he would break the metal chains. He lived out in a cemetery, and he would howl, and he'd cut himself, and he'd walk around the cemetery all the time making all kinds of noise. It was down close to the river. But the people, while they didn't like this, they had grown used to this is the situation and this is the way he is. I remembered somebody came to Noble and started working in the area. And they said, "Gee," and I said, "So how do you like Noble?" And they said, "Your town's got a lot of crazies in it." And I said, "Oh, you'll get used to them. And after a while, you'll know how they are and it'll just be a normal part of your life." 2-3 years went by and I said, "So how are you and the crazies getting along?" And they said, "You know, they're not that crazy." And I said, "Once you get to know them, they're not that crazy. You know how to deal with them." And these people had become accomplished at dealing with this man who was demon-possessed. Basically, it was leave him alone. He stays in his area. We stay in ours. We raise our hogs. And Jesus comes into it. And he makes it harder on everybody involved. including the guy that he delivers. So he tells the demons to come out, and they say, "Oh, don't make us come out, let us go in the animals." And he said, "Fine, go in the swine." And all the hogs ran down, jumped in the river or into the Sea of Galilee, and they died. And this is how he makes it harder on the man. And Jesus, he was getting into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him, get that, imploring him, begging him that he might accompany him. And he, Jesus, did not let him. But he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis, that was 10 cities that was around where he stayed, what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. The people had actually came out, and when they saw this demon-possessed guy in his right mind, fully clothed, sitting and talking to Jesus, and they saw all the hogs floating in the water, they said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Well, Jesus came over here, and he ran into this guy who was making all this noise, and Jesus called the demons out. They jumped in the hogs. The hogs killed herself. The guy's in his right mind." And they said, "Oh no, you've upset our life completely. We don't want this going on in our area. Would you mind leaving?" And Jesus said, "Sure, I'll leave." And he got in a boat and left off. But this man was literally imploring Jesus, "Please let me go. Please, 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 please." Well, why wouldn't he want to go? He had had a rough life. He had lived out there for years in the cemetery. People had chained him up. He knew what was going on. He knew how people was going to react. And he implored Jesus. And here is the best commentary I heard on it. The importance of direct communication with God is accentuated because experiencing God's power is not as vital as knowing Him. Having an experience with God is not as important as knowing Him. And this guy had an experience, and yet Jesus says, "What I want you to do now is to go back." And He seems to be pushing this guy away. Even though what the man desired was very commendable, He said, "No, I want you to go back where you are. I want you to go back where you've come from." Jesus blocked him out and He said, "You go back and share your experience." That's just not right. Here this guy's just met Jesus. He's had a very personal talking with Him, relating to Him. He wants to go with Him. It's very commendable that he goes with Him. It's the right thing to do in his mind. And yet Jesus is going, "No, you're not to come with me. I've got you a mission. You're to go back and just tell the people. Be a witness." And that's all witnessing is telling people about what's happened to you. He says, "Go back and just tell them what's happened in your life on a personal level." And so the guy does. As you read through, Decapolis becomes a place that does follow after Jesus eventually. And most of it's laid at this man's doorstep. Yep. This man did what Jesus told him to do. But that was harsh to that man right when Jesus said, "No, you can't come. Jesus, you delivered me. Jesus, I want to learn from you. Jesus, I want to hang out. I want to see what you do and how you do it. I don't want to stay here anymore. This was a bad part of my life. I want to go someplace else with you." And Jesus says, harshly, it sounds harsh, "No, stay here. You tell him what I've done for you." And he does. He goes off and he tells them. But it seemed harsh to that man. We know the ends of the story, but right when Jesus was telling him, "No, don't beg, no, don't implore, no, you've got to go back." And I'm like, man, that's harsh. Then you drop down just a little bit farther in the story, and you have the lady who has been bent over. She's got a disease, and she's hemorrhaging blood and had been for 12 years. And she says to herself, if I can just get a hold of him, if I can just touch him. And she sneaks through the crowd, comes up behind him and just touches the hem of his garment. And it says she knew that she was healed. Jesus knew that she was healed because it says he felt the virtue leave him. He knew that a power had left him and somebody had been healed. And he turns around and she's walking away. She's walking away from him. He turns around and it seems awful harsh. All this crowd, and she was breaking a law of Moses. If a person was hemorrhaging blood, they were not to go into a public area. They were not to touch people. They were to say, unclean, unclean. So here she is, sneaking up, reaches out, touches him. Yes, she shouldn't have done that according to the law. She's creeping away from him, and he stops and said, all right, hold on everybody, who touched me? And he turns right around, and there she is. And if you read the scriptures, it goes on to say this, that she turned and trembling immediately. She turned and she was trembling, and she was afraid what he was going to say. That's in verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. That's harsh. Publicly humiliated, publicly called her out, publicly made an example out of her, saying, and everybody knew who it was, everybody knew what was wrong, and he said, you, come here. And she turns around, she goes, oh, I'm in so much trouble. That's harsh. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, be healed of your affliction. It sounds harsh to begin with. You did it. Fess up, come here. And she's just scared. What if he took it back? She didn't know all that much about him. And he was going, come here. And she comes here. And then he establishes a personal relationship with her. The lady was going to walk away, knowing that she had been healed, but she, I'm totally restored. But what if something happens? And when she walked away, she had not only been healed, but she had been commended. Well done. Your faith made you whole. Go in peace. Don't sweat it. Don't ever worry about what happened again. It's okay that you came up. It's okay that you touched me. I accept you. But when he first turned around and said, all right, who touched me? Which one of you did it? And she knew, and she was in fear and trembling. We know the rest of the story. But at that moment in her life, do you know how harsh that seemed to her? God had called her out. This is not going the way it's supposed to. The demoniac is saying, this is not going the way I thought it would go, and here I am. And now he's pushing me away. And yet, we find out that he became a person who had a good witness, and people listened to what he had to say. I'm sure it took a while for him to establish relationships, because they probably thought he was going to flip out at any moment. But he didn't. And he said, Jesus delivered me. You can trust what he says. I've met him, I've talked to him, and he told me to go here. I really wanted to hang out with him. If you ever get the chance, go hang out with him. Go see him. Go listen to him. It's great. Maybe he'll do for you what he did for me. She's standing there going, he called me out in public. Everybody's going to know it. He's going to call the law down on me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be thrown out. I'm going to be pushed out of this crowd, and people are going to yell at me from now on. And instead he said, come forward. It's all right. It's okay. You got faith. Go in peace. Whew. Tremendous. But it's not the what she thought was supposed to happen. Then over in John chapter 11, I'm just going to tell you what happens. John chapter 11, verse 38 through 44. That's where Jesus comes back, and he, when I say comes back, he comes down into the Judea area out of Galilee, and he's walking around, and somebody comes to him and he says, hey, that guy you really like, your best friend, Lazarus, he's really, really sick. He might even die. And Jesus said, okay. And he keeps talking and he keeps teaching. And they say, hey, Jesus, didn't you hear? He said, yeah, I heard. And he keeps teaching. The disciple says, aren't we going to go over there? He goes, no, we're going to stay here. We've got a job to do here. We're going to take care of this. Just wait a while. And he keeps talking. Finally, somebody else comes along and tells him what happened to Lazarus. And we know Lazarus passed away. And then Jesus says, now we've got to go over there. And so he goes back, goes back to his friend's house. And Lazarus has died. It's been 4 days since he died. He gets there. And Martha comes out. Mary stays in the house. Martha comes out and she likes Jesus. She talks to Jesus, but she does confront him. And she said, Had you came when you were called, he wouldn't have died. Had you came when we called you, Mary and Martha, when we called you, he wouldn't have died. I believe you that you are the resurrection. They had the whole conversation. Have I not told you I'm the resurrection? She goes, yes, but he wouldn't have died. I know he's going to be raised at the end of days, and that's a great hope, a great comfort, but still, had you only shown up, and we know what happens at the end of it. He goes to the tomb, and there's two great sayings come out of it. One is the shortest verse, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And the other, he says, Lazarus, come forth. We hear that a lot. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, and it showed the power of God. But at that time, when Mary and Martha was sitting in the house, mourning the loss of their brother for 4 days, they were crying, and they said, if Jesus could have just got down here, if Jesus could have made it. And then they find out Jesus chose not to come. And he intentionally let that guy die that they thought that he loved so much, because it says in the scripture, the guy whom Jesus loved, not those exact words, but it does say that, that Jesus really loved this guy, and he stood outside the tomb and he wept. And that's where I was at. Every one of these people had that experience of you're tooling along and you know, Jesus is there. God's God. He's on the throne. Things are supposed to be working out. This is the way Jesus does things. He hears and he answers our prayers. And I ran right into a brick wall that day. And I was like, and you know what he said to me? Do you trust me? And I'm going, okay, I know the proper response is supposed to be yes, but my response wasn't yes. It was, this is not the way it's supposed to work out. I have it understood in my head. This, this, then this. And you're intentionally not coming through with the last part of it. And he goes, I know. And I said, how's it going to work out? He says, do you trust me? And it's like, oh. You've got to say yes, even though you know that it could go the other way. And finally I said, yes, I trust you. And he goes, now you'll walk by faith. Is it going to happen? Do you trust me? Now you walk by faith. And I'm at that point, I don't know. I still don't know what's going to happen. But he took me to these three different locations and he said, it seems harsh, doesn't it? But every time I was there for these people and it didn't play out the way they thought it would, that demoniac guy thought I'd say, sure, come hang out with me. The lady thought, well, sure, she could just sneak up and touch his garment and she could walk away. And everything would be all right. But she would always have that feeling of, what if somebody finds out what I did? He says, and then there's my good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I intentionally let him go. And I'm going, yeah, it's so harsh. And it comes back. Do you know me? Yes. Do you trust me? Yes. Now, I know it works out at the end of every one of these stories. I know it works out. But that's harsh, because in my own life right now, I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm just standing there going, I know that you only do good to your children. You only do good. There might be evil in this world, but you do good to your children. I know that. And it's like, what do you think Daniel thought when they was throwing him in the lion's den? He didn't know. I'm going, no, he didn't. And yet he took that stand and he said, I trust you. And he got pitched in. The three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're standing there and they do something. It's in chapter 3 of Daniel. They're standing there and the emperor says, you bow down and you worship me, or I'm going to throw you into the furnace. And they said, our God can deliver us. But if he doesn't, we still trust him. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. even though he slay me, I will trust him. And he goes, harsh, isn't it? You know how it turns out, but there was no guarantee. Every one of these people had to take me and say, I know you. I don't know how it's going to work out. I know your ways aren't my ways. I know that your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I know that you've got a bigger picture in mind. But in the end, it's going to be all right. In the end, you're going to take care of everything. It might be 4 days of mourning before Lazarus rises up. I might feel the heat of the furnace blowing on me as they're shoving me toward it. But even if you don't save me, I know it's going to be all right. And that's right where so many people stand all the time. And he says, do you know me? Do you trust me? If you do, keep walking by faith. It seems harsh, but it's always a test of faith. And I can tell you this, Jesus never leaves us. Jesus never cuts and runs. Jesus never skips out the back. Jesus is always there. The three kids in the fiery furnace, they call them three children, but they was young guys. The three guys in the fiery furnace, when the emperor looked in, he said, we threw three in, but there's a fourth man in that fire. Jesus is there for us. No matter what we're walking through, no matter our own failures and things we did that's wrong in our life, he says, I do not leave you. You trust me and I will walk with you through this. And he goes, do you notice at the end of every one of these events that's recorded in the scripture? I said, yeah. He goes, what happened? I said, it worked. It worked out. Eventually, it worked out. And he goes, that's my promise to every Christian. No, it doesn't always work the way you want it to. And sometimes my children die while they're standing up and being a witness for me. But even that, I know, and I haven't left them. I am there with them through that. But it worked out even for them. Because he said, I promised you guys one thing. I will come back personally and pick you up on a resurrection day, and you will rise from the dead, and you will get new bodies. You'll never be sick. You'll never have pain. You'll never have worry. I'll wipe your tears away. And though at that time it seems really, really harsh, that is going to be something that's going to be a witness for me that you trust me so much. I remember reading about this girl who became a drug addict. And she said, I wish that I could find something in my life that was so important that I would love it and I would die for it. And she said, I started watching the heroin addicts on the street. And I said, that's something right there. And she became a heroin addict and she died. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You know what the pity was? Is she didn't run into a Christian that said, Jesus is worth living for and he's worth dying for. But don't go to the dying part. You stay right here with the living part. And you live for Jesus. He's worth it. He will be with you all the way and make your life. He'll give you something that you will be willing to die for. And it will be good for you from the time you accept him and say, I trust you, all through the harsh times, every time it looks like he's running us up against the brick wall and we have no place to turn. And he says, do you know me? Yes. Do you trust me? Yes. He goes, all right, we're going to go through this together. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Do you trust me? And there I stand right now. I don't know how it's going to work out. It might not work out for a long time yet, but it's just there. Do you trust me? Yes. Didn't I promise it was going to be good? Didn't I say it would come out for your good? Yes. Will it be good for the church? Yes. When I say church, I mean the church universal. Yes, it's going to be good for all Christendom. That's right. Now you just trust me and walk along, and like that, he will give me the paper, he will give me the scissors, he'll give me everything I need to accomplish what he wants. And he says, trust me, I'll show you. Trust me, trust me, trust me. So if you feel up against the wall, go to Jesus saying, I'm up against the wall, and it's harsh. And you let me get in this position.
But here I am. I'm going to trust you. One day at a time. One day at a time. And sometimes it gets down to 1 hour. Okay, make that 15. Make it every minute. But I'm going to keep saying, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I know you. I trust you. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I trust you, I know you, and I'm nervous. And yet, you said, all things work together for the good. I know that it will eventually work out. And no matter what happens, I'll rise from the dead eventually. Thank you. That's what Martha said. I know you're the resurrection. Eventually. God, I don't know about an hour from now, 2 hours from now. But God, I trust your Son and I trust you. I trust you with this church. I trust you with our nation. I trust you with our government. God, I trust you. You are a good God and a great God. Father, right now also, I think I should say this. I trust you to be in Deb Troyer's life. I trust you to be in Debbie Kincaid's life. God, don't know how all this stuff's going to work out there either. But we trust you. We trust you. In the name of Jesus, amen.